My youngest son, Max, attended the cathedral school many years ago, and now he is an opera singer. So kids who are singing this morning, they might have that in their future. This summer, my husband and I went to hear Max in Ohio. He was singing in an opera company called Ohio Light, and in this little town of Worcester, Ohio, everyone gets excited about this opera company that does all these light operas, like Gershwin. It's old school musical theater, really. We stayed at an inn in the city, a beautiful old house that had been turned into an inn, and the owner cooked these amazing breakfasts in the morning. Scrambled eggs, pancakes, the works. And we got to sit down across from people we had never met before, which is kind of fun. I love to talk to new folks. So one morning, Chris and I sat down, and a young couple were sitting across the table from us, and the woman had this incredible, beautiful sleeve of tattoos up her arm. And I said to them, "So what brings you to town this weekend?" And she said, "Incarceration." Well, I've never heard that one before. I remember looking down at my eggs and thinking, how do I respond to that? Is she in jail or is a loved one incarcerated? So I finally said, looking up, "Well, I'm glad you're making a fun weekend out of it." After that, another young person sat down, and she too had a cool sleeve of tattoos, and they were talking, and all of a sudden I realized, oh, I am so old now. They were going to Incarceration, which is a tattoo festival. A tattoo festival that takes place in an abandoned prison. So there are times in our lives where we hear one thing and understand another, right? Well, today is Together Again Sunday, and we have all these wonderful children, and our gospel is Jesus saying, unless you hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, and even your own life, you can't be my disciple. And I want to say, what? It makes me feel like I need to look down at my eggs again and come up with a response. You all who come here regularly know that the Bible was written in ancient language, not English. And although this translation is the most accurate one that we can come up with, the word hate is not exactly what Jesus was saying. But let me start from the beginning. Did you know that the most valuable real estate in the whole world is inside your brain? There is a little pea-sized piece of your brain called the nucleus accumbens, and it responds when it's stimulated by releasing a little bit of dopamine. Dopamine makes you feel good. So this little pea-sized part of your brain is so valuable. And companies like Meta and Apple and Google are fighting for that real estate. They want to stimulate that part of your brain, because when it releases dopamine, not only does it make you feel good, but it makes you want more and more and more. Now, that little piece of your brain is stimulated by a lot of different things. Like when I do a puzzle and I finally get two pieces that fit together, that I've been looking for a while. Woo, that feels good. I like that. It also happens when you are scrolling through your iPhone and someone's liked something that you've posted on social media. Or when you see something that you want to buy, ding, ding, you get a little rush and you want more. And the value of that little real estate in your brain goes up. Did you know that the average American now spends between 4.5 and 5.5 hours a day on their cell phone? That we pick it up 200 times a day on average? That most every American picks it up within the first 10 minutes of waking up? Now, in the book of Deuteronomy that we heard this morning, God says to Moses, and Moses says to the people, reiterating that great first commandment, choose life. If you want life, you will have no other gods but me. No other gods but me. Now, what is a god? A god is something that you make. You can make gods. Did you know that? You make gods when you turn all your attention to something and begin to worship it. And how do you know when you're worshiping it? When you give up your will to it. When it starts becoming your Lord. When it starts driving your life. That's when you start worshiping something. So we create lots of gods. And not just our cell phone. We create gods sometimes out of each other. Like my friend Caroline. She married early to a very handsome and successful young man who drank a lot. And when he drank a lot, he got mad. And through the course of their marriage, he drank more and more. And he got more and more mad. And it came to pass that Caroline, every day at work, was having a hard time focusing on her job because she didn't know what her husband was going to be acting like when she got home. And sometimes he screamed at her, and sometimes he hurt her. But it became all-consuming, trying to make sure he was okay, trying to get him into rehab, wondering why he wouldn't, trying to throw away the bottles of gin that she found under the sink. And without her realizing it, his alcoholism became her god, and her whole life was sucked up into it. Or Jim. Jim wanted to be a lawyer, and he studied hard, and he passed the bar with flying colors, and he joined a law firm, and his life was good, and he got married and had kids and a nice house, and he just wanted to make partner, so he worked so hard. And then he made partner, but he wanted to get to be a senior partner, so he worked so hard. And gradually he began to realize that his marriage was suffering and he was miserable in his life because every day he was working 12 to 14 hours a day trying to please these partners. And somehow, some way, his law firm had become his god. And it lorded over his life. There's an old parable about a man who was really miserable. He hated his life. He was driving in his car. And he said, even though he wasn't very spiritual, didn't really even know if he believed in God, he was miserable enough that he pulled into a parking lot and said aloud to God, God, I'm miserable. I hate my life. I want a new life. And God spoke to him, and God said, do you want a new life? Okay. But there's a price. There's a price for the new life that I'll give you. And the man said, okay, great. What's the price? God said, well, how much money have you got on you? The man said, I got 20 bucks. Okay, you give me your 20 bucks and I'll give you a new life. And the man said, wait a minute. I hardly have any gas in my gas tank and I've got to get gas so I can get my car home. And God said, oh, right, you have a car. Okay, the price just went up. I'll tell you what, I'll give you a new life for 20 bucks and your car. The man said, wait a minute, I can't give you my car because if I give you my car, then I can't get to work. Oh, right, God said, you also have a job, I remember. Right, okay, the price just went up. You need to give me 20 bucks and your car and your job. And the man said, that's crazy. I can't give you my job. Then I couldn't pay my mortgage. Oh, yes, right. You have a house. Okay, the price just went up. I'll give you a new life if you give me 20 bucks and your car and your house and your job. And the man said, look, if I give you my job and give you my house, I'll have nowhere to take care of my wife and children. Yes, God said, you do have a wife and children. Okay, the price just went up. I'll give you a new life, but you got to give me 20 bucks and your car and your job and your house and your wife and children. Okay, by this time, the guy kind of gets the pattern here, so he zips it. And God says, here's the deal for your new life. That 20 bucks, that's mine, not yours. So I want you to go out and I want you to spend it on what I would want you to spend it on. And that car, when you drive that car, I want you to drive it as I would drive it. Behaving as I would behave and to where I want you to go. And in your job, that's my job now, so I want you to behave as I would behave. And I want you to act as I would want you to act in that job. And that house, I want you to take care of that house because it's mine. You take care of it as I would want you to take care of it. And your wife and children, in this new life, they belong to me, not to you. So you treat them as I would treat them because they're mine and not yours. Now, when Jesus was saying, hate your mother and your brother and sister, he was talking about what I would call renunciation, letting go, pushing away, unhooking. So long as you think you own or they somehow belong to you, you are not going to be able to love them. So long as you think that you own anything in your life, that you're going to be here long enough to truly possess your house and your car and your job and anything else, you will eventually be miserable. So long as you're constantly trying to stimulate that little piece of your brain that makes pleasure, you're going to be miserable. Let it go. And sometimes letting go of things you're really attached to does involve a kind of pushing away. Jesus, in the ancient language, he's not talking about anger. He's not talking about hatred in the sense of feeling mad at something. He's talking about releasing, pushing away, making sure you understand that it doesn't belong to you, renouncing. This is how you get the real life, the new life, the life that belongs to God, because you're turning your worship and your obsession and your focus to God and God alone, and remembering that everything else belongs to God and not to you. And nothing else should run your life except for the will of God. Now, we're beginning a new season here at the cathedral. And if we're going to really sing God's song, we're going to have to step it up because our world is suffering. We're going to be teaching a class on courage and how to be brave. And we're going to start holding think tanks every month or two on various issues and what we're called to do about it. The first one will be on immigration and how we can care for people who find themselves in this country and are afraid. And then we're going to do one on the environment, and then we're going to do one on mental illness. We're going to start this new life together, doing God's will, not ours, because our will doesn't get us very far. And it just takes us on a roller coaster of highs and lows and stimulation in the brain. We've got to do things differently, Jesus' way. Are you with me? This is a new day. Amen.